I'd like to share a thought with you this morning. I read a sign up at the dentist office a while back. It said, you don't have to brush your teeth. Only the ones you want to keep. And that kind of stuck with me. And what I want to think about today is well known to us, but I want us to think about the idea of reaping what you sow. Not particularly that, but the idea that whatever you do today can affect your whole life. Whatever you don't do today can affect your whole life. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to. And if you don't brush your teeth today, they probably won't fall out by the time you go to bed tonight. And they probably, you know, you'll start getting some changes pretty quick with your breath or various things building up on your teeth. Probably you'll feel some pretty immediate effects. I'll be honest with you. If I don't keep my teeth clean, my gums get infected in a day. I mean, if I don't get them clean, I can feel it pretty immediate. But my teeth wouldn't fall out. Yours wouldn't either. But in the process of time, if you don't take care of your teeth, you're going to have problems with them. I mean, it's just, but what I want you to understand is the way our minds work is that it won't be drastic. It won't be drastic. Most everybody in one way or another has a sense of putting things off till it is urgent enough to do it. If it don't need done, I've put things off before that, and when I finally ended up doing it, it'd take 30 seconds to do it, and I've fooled around with it for months. A door that wouldn't latch right, and I'm doing that, and finally I get my screwdriver and fix it in a couple minutes, and it worked. But when it won't work at all, I'll go ahead and fix it. But I want us to realize is that spiritual life is a lot like just natural life. And it just has the same kind of effects with it. If you don't brush your teeth, you're likely to start having some real problems to the point that you lose your teeth. And if you don't take care of your spiritual life, you probably won't feel no effects by the night. Or maybe by next Sunday night. You probably will feel a little, but you may not feel a lot of effects. It may take a long time for you to really feel the real ill effects of the decisions, or lack of decisions, if you will, which is really a decision. The decisions you make today may very well blossom into something, or lack of blossom into something later down in your life. And I'm amazed at the people that I deal with that don't understand the very basic idea of what will happen. That you do reap what you sow. Folks, if you don't sow anything, you won't reap anything. If you sow bad, you'll reap bad. And if you sow good, you'll reap good. It's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. You say one grain of corn, it comes up into a stalk, it has a couple of ears on it, and you add many grains to it. So there's an increase in the sowing and reaping, and it's always the same that you sow. And if you don't sow anything, you won't get anything. And I'm amazed at people that don't understand that life will produce something. And there is times that people put off the very necessary things that they need in life, not realizing that in 20 years, little by little, things grow. It's why it's good to not let the sun go down upon your wrath. The Bible says, when you know why? Because if you let it go down on your wrath, your anger, your displeasures, if you let your bitternesses stay in your heart, if you don't take care of the things that you have, You give that 20 years and see what that'll do. A little bit at a time, you can't tell. Your teeth won't fall out tonight, but they'll fall out in time if you neglect them. And after a long neglecting of the things in your life, I want us all to understand, especially the young people today, that the decisions you make will have much more effect probably than my decisions. I've lived most of my life already, but now in your life, you can make decisions that'll change the whole course of your life. Or you cannot make decisions that will not change the course of your life, that will also lead to certain things in your life. And so I want to talk to all of us because this is not only true in a long, it's true in everyday life. It happens every day, every day. And I'll give you another example. We come back from also want to thank the Lord, but we come back from a long trip, came all the way, went out and run around out in the Midwest and come back from Oklahoma without incident at all. The van run beautifully, it done well. And we got up to go to Elkins a couple of days ago and couldn't hardly pull out the driveway. And the van started, the transmission started messing up before I could, right there at the post office, and it went completely out of gear and had all those problems. Well, I want to tell you what happened with my transmission. When I got that van, it had about 100,000 miles on it. And Brother Mansell's brother helped us get that van, and he was instrumental in it anyway. And I remember him giving me a list of things that had been done to the van. And he said, oils changed, fluid changed, greased. I mean, he went down this list. And one of the things that stuck in my mind because 100,000 miles was that the transmission fluid was changed. As I reflect back on that, actually what he said, everything's done but the transmission fluid hasn't been changed. But I rely kind of on the gauges, and the van will usually tell you service time, that kind of stuff. Well, you know, honestly, it's got 240,000 miles on it, and the transmission fluid was never changed. It was never flushed. Nothing was ever done. 240,000 miles worth of it. And it was as black as used motor oil. It was no red tint left to it. It was completely black. Well, the transmissions go, so you got to do something with the van. And do you realize, I mean, I've had that van for a number of years. Not changing the transmission fluid 2 years ago didn't have no effect on me. The van run fine. I went to California. I went to the East West Coast, I mean, a couple of times. I went to Maine. I went all over in that van. Not changing the transmission fluid didn't have no effect on what we did. We was able to just start up and go to the Walmart. We drove it. It's been a good van all that time. And not changing it 3 years ago didn't make no difference. 2 years ago didn't make no difference. 1 year ago didn't make no difference. Not changing it last week didn't make any difference. It ran fine until a couple of days ago. And not changing the transmission fluid and taking care of that all that time made an effect on my transmission. What actually happened, there's a little valves in there that work, these little solenoid deals, and when you put it on the computer, one of those was stuck. The reason it's stuck, it was crudded up. Plastic. It had an effect. Do you know what you do now that doesn't seem like it has much an effect can have an effect? You can be affecting your very closest relationships today by inactivity. It might not make no difference when you go to bed tonight. It might not make no difference when you get up for breakfast in the morning. But if you don't take care of that relationship and make it what it should be and do what's necessary to do, then at some point in your time in life, it's going to tell on you. You're going to be stuck by the road somewhere. Something's going to happen. And I want us to think about this because there is a good daily habit of taking care of the things of our life. I want to look at a scripture over in Ecclesiastes 12. It says in the first verse, remember now thy Creator. I don't know how your all's minds work, but when I read these scriptures, I dissect them and see what thoughts that it produces in me. Remember now. The word now has something relative to this. Don't put it off. I wonder about you all that's in school up there. I wonder how many times you put it off until. I wonder how much cramming goes right before tests. I know when I was in school, I didn't do anything. Nothing till I had to. I didn't do anything till it comes right down to it. Well, one of the things was that it was things that I really didn't think that I had to know, that I only had to know it for the test, so I tried to get it in at the last minute and get it, and then I could forget it after the test. But other than that, these things that you really should learn, how many times do we put it off and maybe do something else, but I've got to take care of it right up to the last, and that this says remember now. So now is the time to start thinking about, to remember that Creator. Now, what does that mean to you, Creator? What thoughts does that stir in your mind, Creator? You know what it tells? You know what it says to me? It says that I didn't make myself. There must be some importance in that if I'm created. If I'm created, there's a suggestion that I don't own myself. I'm not mine then. If I have a Creator, I was given the things that I have by someone else, and at some point in my existence, I'm going to have to deal with the one that owns me. Because if God created us, He's got the right to put the restrictions, the rules, the definitions to our life. He's got the right to do it. He owns us. Which one of us that owns something doesn't? Isn't that what ownership's about? If I have something, I can use it. I don't go and get in your car and drive it off, you know, because I don't own it. It's not mine. I don't have a right to. But I got a right for mine. I've got a right to go up and go into my house, and if I want to wipe my feet, if I don't want to take my boots off, I don't have to. It's mine. I wouldn't want to do that in yours because it's yours and you might not want to. But in mine, I can do. I'll go jump on the bed if I want to. I can jump up and down it in 2 feet because it's my bed. And I can do it if I want to. It's ownership. Well, remember that Creator. He owns me. So I'm going to have to realize that somewhere in my life, I'm going to have to start dealing with that. That I am created. I'm made. I didn't make myself what I am. And I think God does everything well, but if I'd have made myself, I'd have been at least a few inches taller. I'd have had stronger eyes than I could hear yet. But God does everything well, and I'm getting old and things is changing. But I would have made myself different than that. I'm okay with how I am, but I'd be higher if I had to do it. But God created me, and He created you to be who you are. Remember now that you're created, that you don't belong to you, and that at some point or other you're going to have to deal with the one that created you. Maybe you'll put it off and never deal with that one in this life. But I can say, like Paul said to some people, he said, I deal with you as carnal and not spiritual, because you're not spiritual, so I'm going to give you the best advice. So I can give you some advice. If your mind isn't to make heaven, I can still give you this advice. Life would be just a lot better off if you make the right decisions in it. And there's things that lead to bad behaviors that ruins people's lives. Remember now thy Creator. I'm hoping we all have the mind to serve the Lord and to make heaven our home at the end of it and to have a good life here, because there's a lot of things can happen in this life for our betterment in the spiritual world, but we would, as the scripture says, would that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. So we want to have the best life we can here, and many people train wreck in their lives and the destructions of their home and families and do these things that they never thought they'd ever done because they don't maintenance their lives. They think that they can get by with certain things in their life or not taking care of certain things in their life, and they grow distant and cold and their heart gets on other things, and before long, They can't handle it, and before long they're looking, and tears are running down their face for why they got to where they're at. And many times they don't have tears running down their face because they become so hardened to it that they don't really care that much. Or they drink themselves into a stupor or drugs or whatever it may be. Remember thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now this word evil is not talking about some kind of a satanic or evil spirited thing. It's simply a reference to the troubles that come in life. You have more troubles when you get older than you do when you're younger. Generally speaking, it don't work as well when you get old. You get older, and the testimony of the writer here is the advice of the writer is: remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, while you're young, strong, and full of your mental capacities, while you're able to do the utmost that you can do, while you can face the adversities of life with strength. Things can come against you when you're young, and you can just brush them off easier. And it don't happen when it's all. It's a difficult thing. And so it says, remember, young people especially, remember your Creator. Because what decisions you make today will show up. And I want to tell you, time is going faster all the time for us old ones. You'll turn around. You young people will turn around and you'll be middle-aged. I turned around from youth and was middle-aged all of a sudden. Now I'm leaning towards being an old guy. And it just seems like it's happening so fast. So the idea is for you, make the decisions now. I've told this many times here, but it was a good lesson to me. Unfortunately, I'm starting to do things now that I ain't sure I have time to get any much reward out of. But when I was young, I couldn't have the heart and the mind for it because I'd look at something and went to buy some fruit trees one time. I was going to plant these fruit trees and they was about $20 a tree. And I looked at the tree and I read the little label on it and it telling you how to plant them and all this, and it said right on there that you could expect fruit in about 7 years. And I said, 7 years? Can't wait 7 years. I mean, I'm gonna put $20. I'm gonna buy $60, whatever. I'm gonna spend my money. I don't got much money. I can't do that. 7 years seems too far off. That's too far off. I was a late teenager. I'm 56. That's almost 40 years ago. I didn't plant them trees. because it takes 7 years to get fruit. I'm going to tell you, it's well worth investing in the right life now. It's well worth investing and doing it, maintaining your life, taking care of it, so that it can have a certain quality down the line. You're going to have to make sure of it, because what you do today is going to affect all your life. If you find it hard to do certain things today in your devotions and your time, it ain't going to get easier. It's going to get harder. Practice and make habits, good habits in your life while you're young that will go all the way through your life with you. And then it'll be easier when it's old to have that kind of habit, have that kind of mindset that this is just what I do. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain. Now listen, this is all a poetic language used here, and the descriptions are talking about our natural faculties, and you can read through this and look at it, but it's talking about the sun, them being the days when the keepers of the house tremble. What this is talking about is before the eyes go dim.
Before your legs are so weak that you can't carry yourself around. Talking about the grinders, and before the teeth grind completely off. And before your ears stop up. More and more I'm saying, well, that I've got people pushing me towards hearing aids. More and more. I've had so much trouble keeping glasses and not breaking them. I don't want to pay thousands of dollars for a good hearing aid that I'll probably step on or something. I've been fumbling around with everything. I break my glasses all the time. And all those times, it gets harder when you can't see. You know what? I can't read without them, and I can't see you with them. That's why I'm going, you know what? The moon, the sun's dimming. My eyes are dimming. What'd you say? Can't hear nothing. I'm afraid of that. Linda will say something. She might say, take this to the chickens. And I say, well, why would I do that? And she'd say, do what? Well, why would I do that? What you asked me to do? I said, take it to the chickens. Oh, I thought you said something else. It happens. What'd you say? You said, girl, I thought you said goat. What? I can't hear. And it goes on. You know what? Remember now, get a quality in your life. These things will happen. They just happen. I really, really want to keep my teeth. I don't want, if you've got them, I don't think I'm talking about you. I don't want false teeth. I never wanted them. I've always looked, Mom had them, Dad had them, always seemed like a bad thing. I don't want false teeth. I want to keep my teeth. If my teeth was as valuable to me back when I was 14 and 16 cracking hickory nuts with my teeth and abusing my teeth and doing all that, folks, it wasn't like Mom didn't tell me. I ain't blaming it on Mom. Mom would say, Marty, I ain't got no teeth. Quit doing that. Keep your teeth. But Mom, my teeth are so hard, I'd tell her. Crunch, I'd crack that hickory nut. Sometimes you had to wallow it in your mouth just right to get it busted. Crack that hickory nut. You know what that ends up doing? It cracks it, and then they get stuff, and then they end up ruining it. And it was a bad idea. But I'm strong. I'm capable. But the decision that I made when I was 16 to still pop those hickory nuts makes it less and less likely that I can keep these. They're so valuable to me. I'm losing them all the time. As a matter of fact, I got another one that's, well, it ain't long for in there. I'll just tell you that. Why? Because it's busted. Because I made a bad decision 40 years ago. If I'd have made a good decision 40 years ago, well, you say, oh, I don't know how much we got. Folks, I don't know how much we got. But it works. It works sometimes of making a decision in the morning and reaping it that night. This thing doesn't always happen, but in the long run, I want to tell you, I would never have said this. I'd have thought you old fogey, but I'm going to say it anyway. You young people, take care of your teeth. Don't pop hickory nuts with them. And if they say floss, floss, brush the ones you want to keep. Seriously, it'll keep your teeth. It's good. It's good advice. But not only that, make good habits with your life. Keep your mind with the same. Keep your purity in your mind with the same diligence you want to keep your teeth. Keep your integrity. Don't be a wayward person. Don't be a forward person. Don't be an aggressive person. Pattern it now in that. I tell my wife, honey, help me. I want to grow old with integrity. How many times have I told her that? She said, okay, but don't get mad at me. Okay. I'll try to keep the carnality out of it. Honey, help me to have integrity. She'll say, honey, you got food on your face. Well, you know what? Sometimes I just have to be told you got some stuff on your face. How many times? 3 or 4 times a day sometimes. Say, you got something on your face. Like she's doing this and this. It's better than walking around with it on your face. You have to have integrity. I say to her, help me to be, well, something else that I need help that she can't help.
I don't want to be a grumpy, nasty old man. I don't want to get down to the end that all my problems have made me bitter and mean and ornery, that I can't speak right to people and have a... Lord, help me to pattern, make a pattern. You, what you do today will affect those years. It will really affect those years. The desire that we have will affect those years. I want to look at another scripture over in Matthew. Very serious passage here. 25 of Matthew. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." I don't know the depths of the scriptures or the meanings of these kind of things. But it is a serious thought to think that the kingdom of heaven, 10 virgins represent the purity that the church would necessarily have, I think. I mean, that's the way we think of it. They've had an experience for sure. It represents purity for sure. There's 10 of them. Within the in the middle of the of 10, there's 5 that were wise and 5 the 5 foolish. Lord, help us to be wise. Wisdom, the best definition, there's several, but the best definition that I use for wisdom is the ability to see the results of an action. The Bible talks about when Solomon, the wisest man, when he, you can read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and those things, and you'll see that he dealt in the nature of things. He said that if you do this, this is what happens. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come. So it's a necessary to say that if you're rolling over on your bed, it says, and you put your hands together and you aren't active and you don't do anything, that you probably ain't going to have anything. You won't have a crop. You won't have an industry. You probably will be a very poor person in need because you don't do anything. And that was wisdom. That was wisdom that said, I saw this and I saw the results of it. And so it is of these that were, Lord help us, that sometimes that the problem, people can only see the result. They see the result. They don't look and see what caused that. They don't look back. Those that are wise will look and say, they'll say to me sometimes, "Brother Marty, help me. Help me. How do I do this? And how do I do this?" And it's hard to want to tell them sometimes because it's such a, it's almost like finding fault with them. But you end up having to say, you deny the Lord. You walked away from the Lord some 20 years ago. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you walked away from the Lord, taking your own path, seeking your own thing, and now you've come to the end of the line. You've come to, it's going to show the decisions that you made all those years ago, and now here you are at this place. Well, what can I do? Thank God there is a redemption yet in the Lord. You'll never get back the years lost, folks. You'll never get back with a very common thing. You can get drunk and go out and fall on the railroad track and get run over and lose your leg. And you can repent and be saved, but you don't get your leg back. You don't get the years back that you lost. You don't many times get a lot of things that's lost. You can go and destroy your home and family, and you can repent in sincerity and truth, and the Lord will forgive you. But it don't mean you get that stuff back. Because people won't give it back sometimes of what you gave away, of what you've lost. Here's a scenario of kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And now, listen, there was a time to where, no doubt, I would like to think that intelligence might work this way, that these ten virgins, or probably all 10 of them, said, what is it going to take? And 5 of them said, maybe a couple of the wives could have said, I know I'm going to need more oil. I'll make sure I get it. Maybe another 2 or 3 of them says, I ain't sure where I'll need it or not, but better have it. Maybe a couple of the foolish ones says, might need it, but I'm willing to chance it. Don't think I will. Then maybe the bottom part of the 5 says, ain't no reason to go get it. Ain't going to need it. For whatever reason, 5 of them, folks, this is what it comes down to. All thinking aside, all the things said, what you said, he said, whatever he said, actions is what it's all about. You state what you really believe by the actions that you do. The wise wanted it so bad. They wanted righteousness so bad that they went to the fullest extent to get it. I'll do whatever it takes. The cost isn't important. I got to make it. If by chance the bridegroom comes and I've still got oil in my lamp and I don't need to have it in the vessel, I got plenty. But notice the scenario. It wasn't that important when the decision was made. They all 10 would have got it if the getting it was right when he called. But because there was the delayed gratification, you say, because there was time between the decision and the time that it was needed, they didn't make a good decision. They made a poor decision. It's going to cost them. And so it is also with us. In what the decisions we make, place the value of 40 years in it. Place the idea of the decisions you make. You may say, and it'd be true, I don't need to go to service today. I don't need to go to service. I'd say you're right. For most part, you could probably miss service today and get by with it. For the most part. Maybe next week too. I mean, I don't know how much it takes. But it's a bad decision to keep making it. It's a bad decision because somewhere down the line, there's going to be something you have to pay for. It isn't just that. That's only the quickest thing I can think of. It's all of life. This says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And now it's exciting. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And they're getting ready. And the foolish said unto the wise, I wonder what that feels like right there. Will you go to like that? I'm out of oil. How did I get out of oil? Just a little at a time. Just a little at a time. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. I'm trying to think what year I got that van. Well, we've had that 4 or 5 years at least. I had 4 or 5 years to change the transmission fluid in my van. And any time in the last 4 or 5 years would have probably worked okay. And I just about left myself setting. And every time I think about being on that stretch between St. Louis and Louisville, my transmission going out. Yeah, it's different than pulling out Wesley Chapel. I feel different. But if I was out there and it didn't work, business picks up. Things change out like that. And I had all that time to take care of it and didn't take care of it. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. But sometimes we say, yeah, there's an ought and I need to take care of it, but nothing pending. Folks, don't let that come till the bridegroom calls. Because then you're going to look and say, how do I do this? And the answer is going to be, you had 20 years to do it. You had 20 years to get this right. And now it's come up to the time that they call. This is what happens to these folks. For he said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. There's a lesson in this, folks. Not so. It's not possible for your mom and dad to give you this oil. You got to go to the one that's got the oil on this one. Mom and dad can't do it. Friends can't do it. Somebody else that's done well can't do it. You got to do this one for yourself. But they gave a reason for why it was not so. And that's something we all got to contend with. We all, to love souls, try, do everything we can to help each other along. But folks, the bottom of it, you've got to keep yourself right or you don't help nobody anyway. And running all 10 of them's oil out because it wouldn't be enough for all of them is not, it can't work that way. My soul is continually in my hand. My first obligation is to make sure that I'm right before my Creator. Then second to that, it was I couldn't give you the oil anyway. But if I could, there's not enough for both of us. It's just the way it works. It says, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So at the end of this process, and didn't say for sure, but I'm assuming that it was a lifetime of time to be able to have oil enough to be able to meet the bridegroom. And they come down to the end of it, and they hadn't made that decision. And I just want to restate this, and I don't want to be guilty. They say, you say something twice, you enforce it. If you say it three times, you're insulting your audience's intelligence. Well, I say this about four times, and it's not an insult to your intelligence at all. It's just that I really want to get you to this, that what you do today is going to affect all your life. Or what you don't do today is going to affect all your life. That's the way life is. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.